We're going to have a great morning. We're going to have an informative, practical morning because the last 2 weeks we talked about the spirit of offense. We talked about what offense looks like, how it becomes a weight on our back instead of something we release to God. Then we talked about how to overcome those real traumatic events that end up tripping people up later in life. Today, we're going to talk about the five top classic things people do to sabotage their own futures. And believe you me, it happens a lot. I've been in ministry, a pastor for 29 years, and often our greatest enemy is our inner me, ourselves.
Yeah,
so Stace, we've written down, or you have, and I helped a little. I helped a little on the way in
here today in the car
when we were chatting. That's right. About the five top things that people do to sabotage their own futures. So take it away with
point number one.
Numero uno, por favor.
I don't know. I've seen over the years that, and I'm sure this has happened to you and to any leader or pastor, but many times people come to you for, I just, you know, really want wisdom, or I really want to share with you something. And then they go on to, but I've noticed that people will go from mentor to mentor, pastor to pastor, leader to leader,
guru to guru,
right, to affirm what they've already felt in their own heart. So they're not actually coming to a leader, a mentor, a person to actually open up their lives, be vulnerable, submit, hey, this is what I'm working with, what do you think? It's, if you don't give the right answer,
right,
I shall move on to the next.
Right. And that's what kids do.
Yeah.
So they'll go to mom, can I have a popsicle? No. They'll go to dad, can I have a popsicle? No. They'll go to big brother, hey, can I have a popsicle? Sure. And then
next thing you know, they have their own disappointment in pastors and leaders and mentors, but really it wasn't an honest conversation from the start.
Right. They were just wanting affirmation for the idea that they were already committed to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've noticed, and there was just, you know, one Bible verse that I love. It says 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions.
Wow.
So it's like, I have this desire, I have this passion, and if you agree with me, awesome, you're my person.
Right.
You're my pastor, you're my leader. But if you don't, then on to the next. And they will not, they'll actually forego sound teaching, biblical teaching, to affirm their own whatever it is that they have decided on.
Yes.
And they think that's going to help them. And that's what's sad to me, is it only hurts themselves.
It does.
It sabotages their future, because instead of living lives according to the Word of God, the principles of God, people that actually carry wisdom and the Word of God, they're living with their own passions, their own things that they have discovered that are not biblical.
Yeah.
They want you to affirm them, so it then makes them feel better to go pursue those things. But ultimately, they want the one sitting in the chair is going, well, this isn't going to go well for you.
Right.
Like, it's if you follow through with your own doctrine.
Yeah.
It may sound nice for the moment, even if you get that affirmation from someone, it's still not going to go well because it doesn't line up with the Word of God.
Doesn't line up with the Word of God. And we're seeing a lot of para-church movements that literally started out of that idea.
Yeah.
So we've got the homosexual church over here. So we want the Bible, but for the part where it says marriage relationship is between a man and a woman. This is what a healthy sexual activity looks like and with whom. But we toss that out. We'll take all that, but we don't want this piece. And we'll go over here. And then they're gathering to themselves people who believe the same thing.
Yeah.
And we just want affirmation for that road that we're determined to go down. And we'll just partner up with anybody who agrees with us.
And there's plenty of people. You'll find those people everywhere.
Yeah.
So I think there's that. I think the next one maybe is the God card.
Yes.
We call
I've
it
heard
the,
this a lot.
The God card.
Yeah.
So the God card is you're having a conversation and people are sharing about things, but then it's like the God card. God told me.
Right.
Therefore, your wisdom has no basis in the conversation.
Right.
Because God already told me. And I've had this recently, and a lot of times people come and share about a heart, a desire thing.
Yeah.
And honestly, the truth is they might have heard from God.
Yeah.
But if you have, then why can't you submit that and get the real honest opinion or wisdom?
Right.
I know for me many years ago, so it was like 17 years ago, oh my gosh, that I moved to San Diego. And I remember I was graduating college, and every time I prayed, I kept hearing the word of God going, San Diego, your destiny is attached to San Diego. Wow. I didn't know a single soul in San Diego. I did not know, I didn't yet have a church. I didn't know about C3 at the time. I didn't know any of those things. I was graduating from university. I was praying to God, show me my next step. Mm-hmm. And every time I prayed, I heard San Diego. So I submitted that to the people that were over me because, one, that's a crazy thought. I didn't know anybody here. I'd never been here before.
And it's a big move.
It's a big move. So I think when we consider the big move, and I think big moves happen very few times in our lives, if we were honest. The, the big move.
Yes.
I don't think, if you're in a big move every 6 months or every year.
Sure. Uh-oh. There's a sign.
Yeah. But there's a few big moves, I think, in our life when God truly does speak to us.
Yes.
And so that was one of those moments. But I remember I brought it at the time. I was a college student. So I brought it before my parents who were Christians and pastors.
Yes.
I brought it before my leaders and just shared with them. And I was open to the feedback. Don't go. I kind of expected that, actually.
Right, right.
Yeah. You know what, Stacey? You've got about $900 saved up. And you've got nothing there.
Right.
Maybe you come home.
Wow.
Maybe you come back to Ecuador and start there.
Right.
And I had connections all over the map.
Yeah.
But I felt this from God. But you know what was the crazy thing? They prayed it and they came back and they said, crazy thing, Stacey. We feel it from God as well.
Yes.
And so then you have an assurance, a confidence, so that when you get to that place, come hell or high water, that was a God decision, but it was affirmed by trusted people in your
Amen.
World.
And that reminds me of a scripture which says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. And quite often we won't be looking for those two or three witnesses. And a sure sign is to sit down at a table with a pastor who you've kind of said, you're my shepherd. I'm giving you authority to speak into my life, but then tossing down the God told me. Well, at that point, you need to be open to the fact that you may have heard a part of what God is saying, but you may not have the full interpretation or even how that plan is meant to be executed.
And that begs the question, did you trust that pastor? Was that pastor actually your pastor in the first place?
Right.
Because if you don't trust me, if we have walked together and we've done life together and I know your story and I pray to God for wisdom, but you don't want to submit that to me, then that tells me I might have trusted that you're a sheep, but you definitely haven't trusted that I'm your pastor.
Right. Wow.
Like, was it really? Did you actually give that position or that place to that person if you can't trust them with the very thing that they know your background on?
Yes.
If you have to go to a new person that doesn't know your history?
Yeah.
I'm not buying it, because people that know your history, that care about you, when you submit things to them, you get wisdom from God, that's going to be a great...
Right. Well, if people sabotage their future by putting down that God card, God told me I was going to marry that man. God told me to move to Antarctica. God told me to leave my wife and children. God told me that it was okay to be in a homosexual relationship. So if someone's going to use that card, which we're saying is the wrong thing to do, what is the right thing to do so they stop sabotaging their future?
I would say stop telling and start asking.
Write that down, America.
Stop telling and start asking.
Right.
If you come to someone and God told you, then there is no question.
Right.
Then off you go. You're simply letting me know what you have made your decision on. So don't pretend like there's some sort of counsel happening.
So you're saying, I'm having a conversation to inform you of what I've already decided.
And then even more so, I found in church, people will say, can I have your blessing? My blessing on what? On something that you have chosen and not have invited me into the conversation.
Right.
I can give a blessing to something I've been invited to.
Right.
So I would say better at the beginning, when the first God thought begins to marinate in your heart, when you first begin to go, oh, okay, what is, then I'm going to go to the person and say, hey, I've been having this, I just can't let it go. It's like every time, I've got this thought. What do you think about that? Would you pray with me about that?
Yes, yes.
Of course, let's journey it together. When you ask the question, there's a journey that we can go on.
Yes.
So I would say it's very simple to not sabotage. Begin asking, start at the beginning, don't start at the end.
Yes, right.
And let the journey happen with people that you actually trust. And if you don't have trusted people in your world, then that's your next point of call. Pray, ask God for wisdom on who are people that you actually trust in your world that you're willing to submit yourself to.
Beautiful.
To ask the hard questions.
And can I add to that?
Please.
Because right now we're in the middle of a pandemic still, and a lot of people are getting unsettled. They're very vulnerable. And I find in these transitional moments, while it's very human and very typical to feel unsettled and want to escape and find something new and do something new, actually in those transitional, vulnerable, emotional moments, like we're right in the midst of one right now, is not the time to make a life-altering decision.
100%.
Especially without counsel and time. The Bible says, through the multitude of many counselors, wage war. Doesn't just say, hey, wake up one day and realize you want your life to change. So, you know, throw everything you work for in the dustbin and then trot on to something new. It says, actually take the time to get the right counsel before you set out on a new adventure.
I find that God actually generally asks us to run to a storm, not from one.
Amen. Storm chasers right here.
Yeah. So, I mean, even in that, it's like God sent me to San Diego 17 years ago for now.
Amen. Me too.
For now. And so if you find yourself in this storm, that is any guru, any marketplace leader, any psychologist, any spiritual advisor would tell you, do not make a decision at the height of an emotion. Emotion needs to come all the way down. You got to be in a peaceful place, begin to submit, begin to think with clarity.
Yes.
And then make decisions from that place.
Yeah, you gotta. That's why every person needs a good pastor. If you don't have one, join a great local church. If you're in San Diego, Awaken Church is here for you. All right, what's the third thing us humans do?
Let's talk about one. Why don't we talk about blatant disobedience?
Blatant disobedience, good.
let's just throw that out there.
Yeah.
And what do I mean by that?
So we sabotage our future through blatantly disobeying.
Because I found a lot of people will ask the question like, I'm not at peace, I'm tormented. Or they see you like, oh my gosh, love your life. I want what's on you.
Yes.
But are they willing to actually forgo the things that are blocking them from that breakthrough or for their future?
Right.
And sometimes blatant disobedience, what I mean by that is consciously sinning.
Yes.
You know there's an issue. You know there's a problem.
Right.
You decide to keep doing it, but you still want the blessing.
Yeah.
But you still want the end result. And it just doesn't work that way. I wish it did. How easy that would be.
So let's say I am a single woman and I want to get married to a man with the heart of Boaz, the poetry skills of King David, the face of Jürgen. And I've got this picture on my wall of what I want, but I'm dropping it like it's hot at the clubs on the weekend. I'm dating a whole lot of people that I don't have a future with. I'm making compromises, dating people that whose beliefs and views don't align with mine. They're not walking with God. And then I'm like, humph, I'm on the altar call and I'm sad.
And you're on the altar call every week.
Every week, in tears, because I want the white picket fence and the dream, but I don't want to pay the price for it today.
You know, and generally to people, I just ask let's start with the basics. Do you read the Word of God?
Right.
Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe the principles? Then it's time to start walking like that.
Yes.
It's time to start acting like that so that you can get the very things that you truly desire. Mm-hmm. One time, this is years ago, I remember that we had an intern come and, many people think our interns come and they're just, top 10 perfection,
they fell
from heaven, but many people are just on the journey and we welcome that.
Yeah.
We welcome that. It's a place to journey and to learn.
Amen.
So a lot of people come with all kinds of different histories and we welcome that. But I had one particular situation, this is a long time ago, where one of the girls, it was just her life was off the rails.
Wow.
Everything was messy. Everything was hard. Everything from not being able to keep a job to wanting these beautiful relationships, but not having them. all the things. And I remember her sitting in my office and us just having a really big chat.
Yeah.
And she talked about how she just wanted, you know, to feel secure in a secure relationship and all of these things. And so I asked her, I was like, oh, are you currently in a relationship? And she said, yes. And I said, well, how's that going? And she began to open up and shared how, you know, they go against the word of God. They have sex all the time. Mm-hmm. The way that they're living is not godly. It's not biblical.
Right.
And I just said, look. If you, and I said, what fruit is that bearing for you? You know, and what's the result of that? And she's like, my life is a mess. And I'm like, yeah, it's messy. We got to put things right that are right. Do you know that it is unbiblical to not have sex before marriage? Yes, I know that. Okay, but you are.
Yeah, but you're doing it anyway.
But you're doing that.
Yeah.
And she said, yes. And I said, okay, well, could that be a thing that you will put aside for a season so that you can get your life in order to start walking the walk?
Right.
And she sat there and she thought real deep, and I'm expecting a certain response, and she looked at me and she goes, nah.
Wow.
She said, no, I'm not willing to give that up. And I said, well, then you're giving up the future that you actually want.
Wow. Sabotaging your own future.
And as a shepherd, it's the hardest thing.
Hardest.
I want to make I remember wanting to make the right decisions for her, going, you can have this life.
Yeah.
You can have peace.
Right.
You can have a beautiful relationship under the covenant of God.
Be respected and feel good about yourself and be dignified. All these things are possible for you.
And all the things that she was looking for could happen if she was willing, but she wasn't willing to forgo. So, you know, we had some good discussion, but she chose, no, she was going to consciously continue to sin. And in that case, I can only lead you through the word of God as far as you want to go.
Right.
Yeah. And so she left the internship shortly thereafter. And I had found out within a couple of months she was pregnant, her life further going into turmoil, the last thing ever desired for her. She had every opportunity to make some changes, to get the results she wanted, but wasn't willing to walk the walk.
We all do. You know, I was reading today in the Bible in Matthew chapter 25 about the 10 virgins, the 5 foolish virgins and the 5 wise. And all 10 virgins had a lamp. They all had the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. We've all got the word of God. We've all got the lamp. But only 5 of the virgins kept their lamp filled with oil. What was that oil? It was devotion.
Yeah.
It was not just the lamp, but your ability to have that lamp work for you.
Yeah.
How do we do that? We stay devoted to the word of God. What does God say? King David said, my boundaries have fallen in pleasant places. I can attest to you, the narrow path, my friends, is the path you want to walk on. You know what I've realized on the broad path that leads to destruction? There's no roadside assistance.
Uh-uh.
You break down on that baby, those cars are zooming past you because they're living for themselves.
Yeah.
The narrow path is the one worth treading. If you're not living for God, walking in obedience to his statutes, you are sabotaging your own future. You're paddling your own canoe, boyfriend, girlfriend. So things have to shift in that area if you want to have a future that you're going to look forward to.
I remember having one person tell me that they were aspiring to be a preacher and a minister.
Right.
And they were telling me all about the things. They couldn't wait till one day.
Yes.
And they were naming, you know, big names of, you know, even people. And I want to be like, I want to be. And I said, oh, you know, and they're telling me all these things of, and those are great qualities.
Aspiration.
Be a preacher,
sure.
Be a minister,
great.
Be all these things. And I remember them saying, I was like, okay, cool. Well, what are you doing now? And it was like all the things like I'm learning how to, you know, speak well, and I'm learning how, and I'm like, no.
Right. No.
This is not the stage time.
Right. Yeah.
This is
the devotion
time. And I just said, what are the Bible studies?
Yes.
What's the word of God you are chewing on?
Yes.
What is it?
Right.
Why would people want to follow you? Does your life resemble?
Yeah.
Are you the example that people want to follow? Because we're called to make disciples.
Right.
Preaching on a stage?
Yeah.
That's the symptom. It should be the symptom of a life lived in devotion to God. That's the overflow. I mean, it's interesting to me how people covet the stage. But what they don't covet, what they don't want, is the lifestyle that actually elevated the people to that platform.
And most people that stand on a platform are more worried about their actual devotional life.
Yes.
By being put on a platform.
Oh, 100%.
So it's all the opposite.
Yeah. Yes, it is. All right, so that was number three, blatant disobedience. So if you're living in blatant disobedience to the word of God, no more. Follow his commands. They're pleasant, they're good, and they will make your life better than anything that we could do on our own, in our own steam.
So let's talk maybe about blame shifting or reputation. Talk to us, yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one of the biggest saboteurs of relationships. Yeah. When we have something done to us, and all of us in this life will suffer some kind of affliction, some kind of unfair treatment, injustice, yeah. And we're dealt a set of cards and we're looking at them, we're like, what are we meant to do with this hand? And so often we can spend our life looking at the hand we were dealt and bemoaning it and blaming the card dealer. But at the end of the day, with God's help, you can make something beautiful out of no matter what is put in your hands.
So
this I know to be true. The stories of the Bible tell us that in the book of Ruth, 4 short chapters from the start of that book to the end of that book, we went from desperation, barrenness, death to life, an open future, blessing, God's hand, a miraculous intervention. So blame shifting actually disempowers you.
Yeah.
It puts responsibility for your life and your future in somebody else's hands. If only they hadn't done. If only I hadn't have experienced this. And then what we do is we shortcut the hand of God, stretching his hand out into our lives and making something beautiful out of even that which was ugly.
Yeah, I think that if we look at, you know, on our own stories and backgrounds, the times or the seasons of injustice, and I believe injustice happens to us all.
Right.
There is not one person on planet Earth that there hasn't been an injustice. But just like you said, what do we do during that time? What do we do during that season? Because if we take that injustice and we just blame it on the earth, we just have to look at, okay, what is my response to this?
Right.
And that ultimately shows, quite honestly, the maturity or immaturity of any Christian.
Mm-hmm.
When bad things happen to good people, what do you do? And I just think that during those seasons that can be rough and tough,
yeah.
I think one thing for me is just remembering to trust the Lord with my reputation.
Yes, yeah.
Trust God with my reputation. I remember you saying many years ago, I don't want to run around being my own PR agent.
That's right.
It's exasperating.
Yes, and exhausting.
It's the wrong fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sometimes we waste all of our time trying to clear our name and clear the story and do the, no.
Mm-mm-mm.
More our response is, did I have any responsibility in this situation? If I did, I take ownership of that.
Right.
And if I did not, then I put it before God and I walk the other direction and I let God be God. I let him be judge. And he's much better at it.
Yeah, right.
And then it doesn't steal my peace and my joy at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
So I can live in freedom. I can live in liberation. I can live at peace knowing that God's got me instead of me having to try to rectify every little thing.
Yeah.
Because it won't happen.
So we can spend our time blaming others for what happened to us, or we can spend our time looking to God to make something beautiful out of our lives. And he does it every time.
Yeah.
There are some things that only God can turn. He can turn our mourning into dancing. He can turn our sorrow into shouts of joy. He can take our ashes, all the things that he wants to burn up, the memories from the past, the trauma from the past, the betrayals from the past, and make something beautiful out of them. I will give you beauty for ashes. But that can't happen if you're blaming.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, even probably going on almost to the next thing is just, you know, a lot of these things that we carry from our history, you know, the shame, you know, the shame, the things that we have gone through.
Right.
I was actually speaking to some people last night. And one thing I found with some people is they find themselves feeling undeserving of God's goodness or undeserving of God's miracles or undeserving of a healing or undeserving of that beautiful future because they are staring their own convictions in the face.
Right.
Here's the beautiful thing in God is that all of us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Right.
Everyone has.
Yes.
The point is, what do we do with that?
Yeah, right.
So we've fallen short. We recognize it, then let's ask for forgiveness.
Right.
Be it to the person, to God, or even ourselves.
Right.
Ask for forgiveness. When we receive forgiveness, then we've got an opportunity to move forward, and everything available in God is available to us.
Right.
So at that point, the beautiful reason of being born again is that we that our old, all the old stuff in our life and our history, we get to be reborn.
Yes.
By the grace of God. He covers all of those things so that we can then believe for our big, bright future. And I think we have to stop rehearsing the stories of the past.
Amen.
We've got to stop rehearsing our own sins. If we have truly come to God and gotten forgiveness,
yes,
then we can let that stuff go, because God says that He remembers our sins no more.
Beautiful.
Why do we?
Yeah.
Why do we constantly rehearse our own indiscretions?
Mm-hmm.
If we've come to the table, if we've gotten forgiveness, if we've worked that thing through, then let's start rehearsing the stories of faith.
Yes.
Let's start rehearsing the stories of good things.
Yes.
Let's start living in that place so that that is what our future will then reflect.
Amen.
Our future does not have to reflect our history.
Right.
Our future can reflect Jesus Himself.
Amen.
I think we can have a big, bright, bright future. So I think for some people, it's just time to be released. If you've really asked for forgiveness, then let it go. If you've made things right, if you've journeyed it out, then let it go so that you can begin to expect the big, bright future that God really has for you.
I love that. I just know there are a lot of people carrying weights that they weren't meant to carry.
Yeah.
Maybe you're carrying a weight of shame, a weight of condemnation, a weight of grief, a weight of offense. All these things will inhibit your ability to walk freely into your future, and they can be saboteurs.
Yeah.
And the book of Hebrews says, I want you to cast off every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares, and then run your race. Your ability to run your race well will be hindered if you don't let Jesus take some of those burdens off your back. As we come to a close, I want to share a story of a beautiful moment that one of our pastors had with a young man at our Emerge Men's Conference.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how this young guy had come. He just was newly saved and is hearing all the messages, and he was getting simultaneously impacted, but then at the same time would get really sorrowful and feel condemned. I shouldn't be here. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve this.
Yeah.
And then they have this beautiful moment at the Emerge Men's Retreat where they sit around a big bonfire and they have a piece of wood in front of them, and they have to write on that everything that they're believing God to be released from, their sins, their burdens, their afflictions, their shame, their guilt. You know, some of them writing, honestly, some of the most horrendous stuff that they want to just throw into
humanity.
Yep, throw into God's lake of forgetfulness.
Yeah.
And he was writing it, and Pastor Andrew Bennett was sitting next to him, and the guy was just standing there staring at his piece of wood, totally overwhelmed and overcome with everything that he had written. Like, I am carrying these things. And he turned to Pastor Andrew and he said, how could God forgive that? And Andy, in a moment of honesty, said he thought to himself, dude, that's some big, heavy-duty stuff. Like, in his head, he's thinking, wow, that's major. But then, thank God for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit spoke to Pastor Andrew and said, Andy, tell him to turn the piece of wood over. And so he turned the piece of wood over. And Andy said, turn the piece of wood over. And so he flipped it over and he said, now, what do you see? And he said, I don't see anything. And he said, that's exactly right. Though your sins were red as scarlet, He has washed you white as snow. This is the good news of the gospel. So if you're carrying shame, guilt, condemnation, tormenting memories over sins past, we release you this day in the name of Jesus. Jesus paid a price, a high price, and hung on a cross and carried your shame so you didn't have to carry it. So right now, if you're in the COVID-19 season and you are carrying a weight of shame and guilt and condemnation, we say shame off you right now in the name of Jesus. Just as the Lord God spoke to that man at the Emerge Retreat, He is speaking to you today. This is your moment of encounter with the Lord. Do not carry for a second longer that demonic, self-sabotaging spirit into your future. You are a child of God, ransomed by the highest price of the blood of an innocent man who freely did it all for you. So with that, we're going to end. God bless you. God keep you. Make His face shine upon you. Don't sabotage your own future. Oh, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, and they're good plans and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. We love you. Do you love Him? I love you lots. She upped me. She one-upped me. All right. We'll see you again next Thursday, 10:30, for another Cherished Conversation. Love you. Lots and lots and lots and lots.